Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined as we have the privilege of being each week by Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, a beat he covers brilliantly at Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com, where he writes columns. He is also frequently heard, not only on this program, but more importantly at Fox News, where he is one of their go-to guys on this portfolio. And Gordon, you are rightly so, I think, that of most of us in the free world by virtue of the thoughtful analysis that you bring to this topic. It's always good to have a chance to talk with you. Welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, Frank.
We are in the midst of a high drama, I think it's fair to say, and it seems as though with each passing day it becomes both more dramatic and more ominous. Gordon, since we last talked, there have been revelations that the Office of Personnel Management's databases were hacked, apparently by the Communist Chinese, to an even more comprehensive effect than we were initially led to believe. It was, I think, started out to be 4 million personnel files had been raided. It's well above that number now. Give us a flavor as to what this says about what China is up to and how we ought to be responding to it.
Yes, we can expect even more revelations because the second disclosures were so much worse than the first, talking about security clearance information and the rest of it. So China clearly is mapping the U.S. CIA, NSA, everybody with the security clearance. And these disclosures haven't stopped, largely because we have had very faulty infrastructure and very faulty defenses, but more important, because we have not been willing to deter the Chinese, because attacks always overwhelm defenses eventually, so you have to deter them, and we have not been willing to impose the costs on the Chinese. At this point, the CIA just might as well say to the Chinese ambassador in Washington, come in and with your vacuum cleaner and take everything you want, because you probably got it already. And we're not doing what is necessary to stop further attacks. So this, I think, is going to be an issue that we'll need to talk about.
Gordon, could you give us a sense, based on your study of these matters, as to what kind of damage the Chinese could do with the sort of information they've been vacuuming up?
Well, basically, China will be able to identify every American secret operative around the world with the information that it has. And this allows them to find who they can turn, and also it gives them information for further attacks so they can appear as trusted parties to people who are still working in the government. There's really endless possibilities for China. Many people have speculated, and as we start to realize how deep the penetration has been, I think that essentially they can do almost anything they want at this point.
Gordon, let me turn to another topic also related to what China is up to and how the United States is responding. We're told that this Trans-Pacific Partnership, about which I spoke a moment ago with Andy McCarthy, is a kind of bulwark against the rising hegemony of China in Asia by forging an economic alliance, basically, with nations in the region that excludes China. The defense secretary has actually said this is worth an aircraft carrier in terms of our defenses. Do you see it that way? And what do you make of the suggestion that some have offered that China could be brought into the deal after it has been blown through Congress without any further say-so by the Congress?
Well, it's probably worth more than one carrier. So I think the defense secretary was understating it. What we've got here is an attempt to build a free trade area with very high standards. And yes, it's true that China could eventually join, but China would have to join under conditions that are completely unacceptable to Beijing, which is the reason why it did not begin as one of the original negotiating partners. So, for instance, there will undoubtedly be really high standards for state enterprises. And China just can't meet that, especially because it is now relying more on state enterprises for economic growth and prosperity. So, therefore, I don't think China will actually become a member of this in the foreseeable future. I think people are saying that because they don't want to make it look anti-China. But I don't think that this is really more than just propaganda when they say China could be brought in the not-too-distant future.
Let me just press you on this, because I think that that sounds good as far as I'm concerned. And yet what we've seen, notably but not exclusively, in the World Trade Organization, Gordon, as you know so well, is that China kind of throws its weight around, and lo and behold, the rules that were established that were supposed to create a high bar to Chinese involvement or at least influence there seem to be waived in order to accommodate the Chinese. Is that of concern to you?
Yeah, it will always be a concern of any organization of which China is a member. And we're seeing that in all sorts of treaties where China has signed up, especially the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. You know, in the trade area, though, this is not only a question of China's predatory behavior, but it's also a failure on the part of this administration and the one before it to enforce the rules. And so this is failure on our part as well as China's. I think, though, that with the new attitude on China, as we see in Washington and other capitals, I'm less concerned about a failure of enforcement on our part. And as I said, China, if it wants to join under the standards, not a bad thing, but it won't be able to accept those standards, which were basically drafted to prevent China from coming in the first place.
It will be fascinating to watch, potentially quite important, both economically and strategically. We'll count on your advice on this, Gordon Chang, going forward. Let me turn to a country that you have been closely following for a long time, Gordon, and that is North Korea. You write in your book, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, about the bellicose nature of this regime. One of the places that is increasingly worrying where this bellicosity is manifesting itself is in the expanding nuclear capability of North Korea. And Gordon, I wonder, Peter Husey, one of our colleagues, has written about particularly the buildup of their ballistic missile capabilities at sea and elsewhere that suggests a kind of ominous new capacity to take on the world. What do you make of what the North Koreans are up to, and how are they affording this given their desperately poor condition?
Peter Husey's piece is something that everybody should read because it really outlines the challenges we face right now. North Korea has basically decided that it's going to go full bore on both its nuclear and its missile programs. And it's been selling this stuff to Iran in the middle of the negotiations that we've been having with Tehran over this grand bargain. Clearly, the North Koreans have been able to afford it because they're not devoting resources to the rest of their economy. And the Chinese, and to a lesser extent the Russians, have decided to support the North Korean regime come what may. And so really there's a very bad situation where the rest of the world is just watching this, and we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything in this administration. We didn't do very much in the last administration. So, of course, the North Koreans see a big green light for their very destructive ambitions.
And Gordon, just very quickly, what would you recommend we do in light particularly of these road mobile intercontinental ballistic missiles that seem to be emerging, and sea-launched ballistic missile capabilities as well, somewhat further away from deployment, presumably, but nonetheless, again, moving in a direction of increased capacity to threaten this country as well as others.
The already deployed KN-08, the road mobile missile, threatens the U.S. There's only one thing we can do right now, and that is better missile defense. The other thing is that we need to prevent the North Koreans from selling this stuff, which means we need to stop North Korean ships on the high seas, and we got to impose high costs on the Chinese if they continue to allow the North Koreans to send their planes across Chinese airspace to Iran carrying missiles and God knows what else. I know it's going to be a high cost for the U.S., but we've got to do it.
Gordon, as always, your advice is sober and thoughtful, and welcome here. We appreciate you taking the time to join us and look forward to talking with you again next week and to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.